Hello, everyone. This is Michael Vandervoort. I'm doing some media coverage at the Epic HR Conference, a new conference in Las Vegas. I'm at the Bellagio, and I'm sitting down with one of today's speakers, an old friend, Jason Seiden. Jason, welcome to Drive Through HR. How are you today?
I'm good. Really good seeing you. Thanks for the chat.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to get a minute in the hallway to catch up earlier and chat about the last 5 years or whatever.
Exactly. It never happened.
Right, exactly. And unfortunately, a lot happens, right? But we won't go into that again. Some of it. But so big day today. You're here for a minute to present, support another friend, Mark Stelzner, and some other things. But also launching a new business. So let's start out by having you tell folks who you are and what you're doing these days, because it's a whole new venture.
Yeah, thank you. And you're right. The context in which all this is happening is pretty amazing. Mark's doing a great job with the conference. A lot of really solid sessions, and we go way back. I'm really happy about how many new voices I've encountered, today. It's really amazing. And speaking of new, I mean, some of the folks listening might remember me or know me. I've got a new message. Some folks probably know, I lost my daughter in 2018. I've been in the talent space for a long time, and today I'm launching with my wife and co-founder, with Lisa, a company called Comfort Communications, which is all about normalizing grief and just making it easier for people to talk about grief at work. Why? Aside from the obvious. I'm sure you'll ask, but the short of it is, before we get to therapy, before we get to all the solutions, we just need to be good to each other and make sure that those daily interactions aren't creating more need for therapy, right? But are a source of support.
Well, we literally just sat through your session, listened to this, right? And had a lot of engagement at the end, a lot of follow up, a lot of questions, and a lot of it is like we're in the benefits department, and we don't know these people, and someone asked this literally, and you could see the visible struggle on our face about it. I know this isn't like how we're supposed to do it. But what are we supposed to do, right? So it's such a tough thing. It's such a personal thing, which was also what you talked about, how you were basically paralyzed. So maybe walk us through like a mini version of that, and we'll drop where people can find you and learn more about it later.
Sure. So let's back up for a second. What makes grief important? What makes supporting people through grief important? Grief is the only time in my life since I was a toddler that I had no words for what I was going through. I am a man of words. I might struggle to find them, but I can find them and I can express myself pretty well. I couldn't express myself at all. I couldn't express my needs, nothing. So grief is inherently lonely and isolating and frustrating and depressing. The inability to communicate, right? Like a terrible twos, like a toddler. It is also frustrating and isolating. So the compounding effect has the potential to be massive. Work colleagues have a hard time showing up for one another for a number of reasons. One, they're not sure who they are to this person. Mm-hmm. What do I say? And then two, we're not experts. Literally, what do I say? What's the right thing? And so what ends up happening is we either say the wrong thing or we say nothing at all.
Which is also the wrong thing.
Which is horrible, right? It's like, I'd rather you show up and say the wrong thing and tell me, I'm sure this is the wrong thing, but it was just more important for me to be here for you. So that's the foundation that we've got. And then the scale of it is worth noting. Somewhere between 20 and 25% of the workforce is actively grieving a recent loss. That's somewhere between 30 and 37 million people. It's a huge number. We only have 200,000 therapists in this country. So if all they did was grief and all they did was grief for people who work, they still each would carry a caseload of 185 people. There's no federal law to help with bereavement. And we know what's going on in Congress. That's not coming anytime soon.
No, never.
And then company culture, great. But the culture around grief is not going to be your company culture. It's going to be the individual's family and religious and community. And those are the cultures that are going to drive. So there's nothing there that we can lean on. And in that absence, you asked about HR in the benefits department. A lot of folks, when I start talking to them on the HR side, will say, I don't know how to handle it. Our policy is not great. I don't, or our policy is this, or, somebody in the session was like, I get notified by the system after, right? Mm-hmm. So stuff's already happened. And my point is, it's always a good time to start a human connection. And so there's good news and bad news on this. The good news is it's fairly simple in concept. Pick up the phone with no other agenda and say, I heard what happened. I am so sorry. I'm here for you. And I don't say pick up the phone because I'm old. I say pick up the phone because people should hear your voice. They'll get the text message if they just want to read it, right? They'll get the transcript. Give them the option to hear your voice. So that's the good news. The bad news is it is fairly complicated to coordinate, especially in a larger company. When I mapped out the process of like, what does a good process look like? There's about 24 different communications that need to go out in the first day or two just to coordinate all of the people who are involved and keep them all.
And those are often tons of transactional kind of, not the human touch element that you're talking about, right?
Well, some of them, right?
Some
of them are administrative, like I need you to reach out mm-hmm. Here's what happened and let's talk work stream. Some of them are human, like reaching out to the manager and saying, here's a template to make sure that you don't trip over yourself on this call, or a template to a note to an executive. Hey, if one of you reaches out, remind the person that they don't have to call you back. I've heard so many stories, and one of the ones that breaks my heart was an individual contributor who heard from her boss or boss's boss, executives in the company, and she spent 2 hours with her brother trying to just choke back the tears so she can call her CEO back, because she didn't think she couldn't call him back, and she didn't think that she could cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and I'm sure it would have broken the CEO's heart to know, the unintended consequence mm-hmm. of getting that message wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I think, without going into this too much, because there's more important things, I think that's what causes some of the paralysis of, like I told you when we met, yeah. caught up, you say there are no words because you think there are no words. Your point is, yes, there are. They're just words of comfort.
Yep.
Give them genuinely and humanly, and that will be appreciated. It's yes. not going to fix the problem, because that's the next thing I wanted you to talk yeah. about for a second. This isn't a fix for grief.
Correct. This is not therapy. This is actually for the team and for the company. And if you take care of them, they'll take care of the individual. So this is to help people get out of their colleague's way, so that colleague can make the shortest, shallowest trip through grief possible without dealing with noise and friction coming from work. You can't fix it. That is what therapy is for. But if you can get out of their way, a couple things happen. One, the team has the confidence, like, oh, this is a moment that matters. We can do this. Two, you're getting out of the person's way. Like they've got a shorter path back. And three, you actually start building your company culture at the moment that matters most. You put action to, right, all the investment we make in employer branding.
All the things on the wall.
Yeah, yep. Here it is. And it takes a little courage to reach out and be like, yeah, I know none of us are experts. God forbid any of us become experts, that we're dealing with this often enough that we have to know. But absent that, here's a couple things that you can say that won't make it worse.
Yeah. So, because these are supposed to be short, quick hits, I could talk to you for a long time about this. Tell us about corporate comms, right?
Comfort comms.
Comfort comms.
Yeah.
I knew that corporate was coming out the
right
way. Comfort comms. I just noticed the logo on your jacket, too,
yeah,
by the way.
Some embroidery. Nice.
Yeah.
You guys can't see it.
Yeah, it's a visual. We'll give you that. Anyway, so tell us about that, where people can find it, and then we'll wrap up.
Comfortcomms.co, no M, brand new, out of the gate. We've got our MVP. We've got a couple organizations who have stepped up. We're bringing those early adopters on board right now. And this is something, ultimately the goal is to create protocols that are usable by every company in every form of grief. And we're starting with larger organizations, helping employees through the loss of a loved one. The reaction so far has just been tremendous. I'm so appreciative. This community just always knows how to show up.
Yeah. I would end, I guess, with one more question, and whether it's death, or we talked earlier about my experience over the last few years with caregiving, and followed by death,
yeah.
Which
anticipatory grief.
Are inevitable kind of things that any of these issues, very human issues, they can impact anyone and everyone, and yet our industry is, we do our best in air quotes, but we're woefully ill-equipped, honestly, to deal with this. So can you give us like a couple of thoughts of where to start?
Yeah, start human to human, right? So if something happens, I recommend three calls. The first one is to the individual. And that call is simply, I heard what happened. I'm so sorry. There's going to be some administration involved with this. Not today. And I just need you to know you're not ever going to want to do it. And there's a human on the other side here who sees it and wishes it could be different. Because I know not every organization, you know, we have, there's a lot of permutations. Not everyone's going to be, it won't always be possible to do the work for the individual. Sometimes you'll know before the notes go out. Sometimes the system will send a note before you have a chance. Whatever form it is, reach out to the person and just make a human call. Hey, I heard. Secondly, reach out to the manager. Find out how the relationship between the manager and the individual is. And if it's a good relationship, have the manager make the same call. And if the relationship is not, you're going to run points probably through HR. But in that case, have the manager reach out and say something on the order of, hey, listen, I heard what happened. I know things are a little rocky. I'm calling timeout on all that. I see you. I'm really sorry. And then the third suggestion is recognize that this person is going to come back to work at some point and reentry can be awkward. So work with internal comms, figure out who this person interacts with and make sure that the word gets out to folks so that when they come back, they don't find themselves on a Zoom call where half the people know what happened, half the people don't. And somebody decides, hey, it would be a really fun icebreaker to talk about what we all did this weekend. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's just, I'm not saying don't have icebreakers, but if you can get the word out to people where they have the ability to then be a little more thoughtful in their actions.
More situational awareness, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton more, but if you just did that, if you just made that personal call, had the manager reach out, you're winning.
I want to thank you.
Thank you.
This is awesome. I want to wish you also good luck with the new venture, and we'll talk more about it later. But anyway, Jason Seiden, everyone, thanks. This is Michael Vandervoort. I'll have another couple of things drop in the same episode, so hang on for another guest in a minute. Thanks, everyone. Hey, everyone. This is Michael Vandervoort again. I'm on day two of my trip to the magical city of Las Vegas to attend the Epic HR conference here. And I'm sitting with somebody that I met on the display and vendor floor. His name is Pete Schramm. Pete, welcome to Drive Through HR. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Michael. Doing great. It's an exciting conference and glad to be diving in together.
Awesome. So one of the things I do when I come to these shows is I like to walk the vendor halls and kind of try to spot things that are a little bit different than the, you know, there's several different kinds of offerings that are really similar. Not that that's bad, but your product, which we're going to talk about in a second, caught my eye because it seems to have a unique angle. So that intrigued me, and so I'm really happy to be able to sit down with you. Before we go into Latitude and your book, let's have you introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us about what you know, kind of how you got here and what you do and what your company does.
Yeah, I'm a people person from Pittsburgh.
easiest Very way to alliterative.
Say it. Yeah. Pittsburgh Pete, people person, passionate, you know, you put all the different pieces
awesome.
Together, but grew up on a farm, you know, love bringing people together. That's really my favorite thing. Went public high school, private high school, college in DC. I was in Washington, DC for about a decade. Used to build robots for the Army and then transitioned into running my own company about full-time 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago now. But it's really been a heck of a journey. Love traveling, love pottery. Mm-hmm. You know, if anybody does Peloton, Schramm Farm, you know, we can go ride together, coaching basketball, but just anytime you can better the lives of others and kind of help them catalyze those aha moments, that's what I'm all about.
Nice. So Latitude is kind of what your booth is touting here, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about Latitude and what you got struck by this idea of bringing people together and facilitating connections, and tell us how you do that with your product.
Of course. So Latitude, our focus really is helping you develop and retain your best employees and get them ready for promotions. And you say that to a business leader or somebody in HR and they're like, oh my gosh, yes, I want that. Or no, taking care of our people isn't a priority right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Do they really say that, or do they say things like, I don't have the budget?
So I don't have the budget does come up sometimes. It's interesting, whenever we talk to folks, they'll say that they're integrating another software right
okay.
now.
Okay.
And along the way, they said, no, we're stuck on our employee engagement survey. Come back to us in a couple of months. And it was at that point where we kind of grew from just mentoring software to then also have the engagement surveys in there as well.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm like, hold on. Our chief scientist teaches on this topic. Like, we can do this for you guys. So Latitude will kind of give workshops and trainings. I've done that more than 70 times all around the globe. We talk about career mapping. We talk about personal board of advisors, this idea of multiple mentors coming together, bringing diversity to it. And a lot of folks, Michael, say, hey, go do mentorship. But they don't really give you the tools or the process mm-hmm. or the structure. So that's why the software exists. And then we complement and supplement the software with some of these training sessions.
So a lot of the mentorship programs that I've seen over the years were just like, hey, you know, hey, Pete, mentor Michael.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you guys get together and talk.
You could or you should.
You know, show them the road, whatever. Like, they're very yep. informal and there's not a lot of tracking. And I think the people kind of wander through it, and you know, if you get a good one, somebody that kind of really cares and knows what they're doing, it might be a good experience. Other times it's kind of frustrating.
Hit or miss.
Yeah, it's hit or miss. And so do you find that the technology aspect helps like level that out, or is there more like of a system behind it as well?
So we do a mentor match assessment. Mm-hmm. And so it says, hey, here's what I want to learn about, here's what I want to teach about. Mm-hmm. And our approach is also unique in that you can be both a mentor and a mentee. Right, it's not just one or the other. Because
mm-hmm.
Think, once, especially mid-level managers, that's who needs the most help right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go up, down, side to side. Growth comes from all different angles. And that's where the personal board of advisors concept is valuable. So you're bringing diversity of thought, insight, perspective.
So
to
expand
your
on
growth.
That. Tell yeah. us what, you know, I mean, like, I think everybody thinks they have something like that, but it, you know, is this a really intentional or is it, well, go, you talk about it. I don't
yeah. So
to.
The personal board of advisors, you know, Napoleon Hill talked about it 100 years ago in his book, Think and Grow Rich. A couple of, you know, Fortune, talks about it. CNBC, everybody talks about this mm-hmm. concept every so often, but nobody's really put together a structure or a framework of how to go about it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I decided to do. And it's, you have a functional mentor, a cross-functional mentor, ally, sponsor, champion.
And these are all within your corporate hierarchy?
So it depends, right?
Okay.
If I'm a smaller organization, then I might not be able to find mm-hmm. You know, a champion, but my split level, somebody two levels above me or so, inside my company. I might not be able to find a sponsor or an ally inside of my organization. And then the other part is, if I'm high up in the company, who am I going to get advice from?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's from your, you know, board of directors, right?
Mm-hmm.
The corporate board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's from your peers in different networking groups or people you used to work with. But we try and do as much as possible inside the organization. And the bigger the company is, the more opportunities there are
mm-hmm.
for connection, obviously. But it's just bringing more structure and a little bit of process and a guide, really, to this connection journey.
Okay. I want to just – I had a question I wanted to ask you
yeah.
out of curiosity. Like, how big is your organization?
So we're about a dozen people now.
Okay. And like what do most of them do? Like, you're the brain trust, you know, like, and also, like, who's your typical client?
Yeah, so the glue guy, right?
Yeah, the glue guy, great.
Yeah,
great,
so let's talk
yeah.
talk about the team, right? So we have dev, operations, design, product testing, you know, chief scientist, data scientist, contracts, government sales. Just brought another developer onto the team this week. Doing a fundraise now so we can add some more people
yep.
To the team. And to answer your question, Michael, of who's an ideal customer, as long as you have over 100 employees, it's worth a conversation.
Okay.
Because you think about those companies that are, you know, over 100, they have at least one person in HR,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're trying to at least work on some of the relational aspect,
mm-hmm.
right? There's plenty of solutions out there. We saw many at the conference on the compliance and the transactional
yep.
side. And so that's fine. That's taken care of. I like to focus on that relational side
mm-hmm.
of HR. And let's face it, whenever we get that right, it can change your total experience in the workplace.
Yeah.
And so that's the focus. Think about people that have desk jobs. typically more popular. So if you're a frontline worker in restaurant, maybe not a super great fit because you're not at your desk or at your computer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really where the kind of white collar demographic can help everybody, right? We've worked with, white collar, blue collar. I call it the all collar, approach solution. But it's really those, we work best with organizations that care a lot about their people.
Yeah, we invent like a term of the week every week now, it seems, right? Great resignation,
yep.
Great return. I think I saw gray collar the other day, which is somewhere between blue and white. Like, there's kind of some quasi positions or whatever.
Yeah.
People are people, workers are workers.
Right.
But to your point, access to certain kinds of technology or tools may drive how you work or whatever. But mm-hmm. So before we spin over to the book, any final thoughts around just like latitude, how you can put it to work, anything there that you want to, anything else you want to touch on?
Yeah, I'd say, reach out on LinkedIn if you want to learn more. Again, there's the workshops, the trainings, there's the engagement surveys, there's the mentorship software, and then there's the part we're most excited about is coming out here with the Career Companion. So this is the solution where you're actually able to track your career map and track your personal board of advisors. And, even just at this conference, about a dozen people came up and they're like, I want more of this. I'm like, cool, let's do it.
Yeah. So, and just on that personal board of advisors thing, if you're not a client of Latitude, right? Like what are a couple key tips for somebody if they want to kind of build their own, out of their own, can you help somebody out that might not be a client yet and how they might approach that?
I'd say go check out the book, right? Starters. So Pathfinders, Navigating Your Career Map with a Personal Board of Advisors. Mm-hmm. Again, it's linked to my LinkedIn. But really just think about how many, different people are providing guidance and insight to you. Mm-hmm. What's the, diversity of thought and their backgrounds. So make sure you have a couple of different people. There's idea one. Think about the differences in their backgrounds too. And think about some kind of structured cadence, mm-hmm. With them. Do you send, an agenda ahead of time? Do you try and, I like to try and meet with these people at least once a quarter,
mm-hmm.
Earlier on in the relationship, it'd be more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a couple of pieces. Make sure you say thank you, right? Mm-hmm. That attitude of gratitude is really helpful. And I think to ask what you can do for them is also an important piece.
Yeah, like it's got to be kind of a quid pro quo relationship. Mm-hmm. Are there, should these be friends? Should they be professional acquaintances? Is it kind of like, because confidants? I mean, how do you identify who might be on a personal board of advisors?
So I have a 14-point checklist in the book it's like dating. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're
going
to interact and mingle with different people and you're not going to hit it off with every single one.
Right.
Same thing with professional
development. I would also think, though, that you want people who will give you like your friends may not tell you, you're kind of an a-hole or, if you are. Right. I mean, they may or may not say that to you. So that they may not be giving you in the interest of the friendship, they may not give you completely honest feedback or so. I don't know.
Tell you what you want to hear.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Not what you need to hear.
Yeah. That's kind of the point I'm trying to drive to.
And so I talk about SMARTY goals,
mm-hmm.
SMARTY.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, okay, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, timely, but all about you.
Yeah.
Right. Make sure these goals are specific to you and these are your goals. That's the why in there. And you do that goals and goals and expectations for each one of these relationships.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do whenever you start a job? Hey, Michael, here's what I expect you to do,
mm-hmm.
how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you have a friend that fills a role on your personal board of advisors, fills one of those board seats? You can, yeah. But just make sure that you're clear about what the goals, what you want to accomplish and why, and the expectations, how you're going
mm-hmm.
to go about it. Make sure you're clear on those pieces
mm-hmm.
from the start.
So chicken or egg question, which came first, the book or the company?
The company. So the company idea came about March 4th, 2018. I was living in Washington, D.C. The book came after I did 50, 60, 70 different keynotes and workshops, and people said, Pete, we need more information on this.
Okay.
We need, more. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'll come speak with you again. We can do another workshop. They're like, no, you have to write a book. And then I said, okay, I guess I'm writing a book.
Cool. I've always wanted to, but I've never really done the work to figure out,
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
I work for a guy that has written multiple books, and he's got a new one coming out next year.
Nice.
tell us about the book, which you've already named, but you might want to do that again just in case. And then tell us kind of what the how it lays out and what it provides for somebody who wants to go read it.
Yeah, so check it out on Amazon if you want to get your copy. Pathfinders, Navigating Your Career Map with a Personal Board of Advisors. And that's really what we talk about. There's three parts in the book. The first one is about kind of what you're going to discuss in the conversations with your different board members. Talks about the career mapping, right? Outlining those kinds of concepts. How we actually, on the career map, it's multidimensional. Mm-hmm. So you think about the skills, the education, the achievements, the accomplishments, backwards and forwards.
Okay.
So we're forecasting where we can go in the future. And then, oh my goodness, that's one of the things you can talk about with your multiple mentors. So part two of the book is where we get into the different board seats and some of the similarities and differences, right? You have your mentor who's giving up their time. You have your sponsor that's giving up their brand. And then part three of the book is where we get into how to maintain and sustain those mm-hmm. relationships over time, and some ideas for organizational implementation. Maybe you have a full board meeting, how to keep investing in yourself, keep getting better. But that's really how you tie it all together, part one, part two, part three.
Nice. Well, thank you for doing this, first of all. Just to close, you mentioned LinkedIn, so it's Pete Schramm.
Yeah.
Any other like website for the for Latitude? It's which is two T's, by the way, right?
GOLATITUDE.com. GoLatitude.com. But really, everything's tied to the LinkedIn.
Okay.
So Schramm. And a cool way to think about how to say my name, if you have two emojis, the peach emoji mm-hmm. and the ram emoji.
Peach ram.
Peach ram, yeah.
Excellent. Well, again, thanks for doing this. This is Michael Vandervoort, another short, quick bite from Epic HR in Las Vegas. And our guest was Peach Ram. And we're going to wrap it up. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.